You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Olga Belenskaya, the bookstore manager for American Free Press, who just got back from a special 2012 third-party presidential debate in Chicago. Olga, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Olga, we had the debate on American Free Press's website, and I got a chance to watch a bit of it. Of course, they had four presidential candidates there. But of course, none of these candidates are actually in the running, or are they?
All of them are in the running, and all of them have a chance to win because almost 40% of people who could vote have decided not to because they don't believe in the people who are running, and they don't know that there are people running who actually represent them. So if those 40% came out and voted for one of these people, they all could potentially become president, and they all have solutions that would actually help this country and the majority of the people in this country.
Wow. Why don't you run down who they actually were?
Okay, there's Jill Stein from the Green Party, Rocky Anderson from the Justice Party, Virgil Good from the Constitution Party, and Gary Johnson, who is libertarian. And all of them, as different as they are, all of them have the interests of the common people at heart. And they pretty much agree that the establishment system only makes things worse for everyone and only benefits the big money who owns it. And so any one of these people would be a great help to 90% of the country.
Right, exactly. And of course, this debate was put on by the Free and Equal Elections Foundation. What did you find out about them?
Okay, the Free and Equal Elections Foundation, they're an all-partisan organization. So they try to unite and give voice to all parties so that they have a chance to reform elections and to make them fair. They don't side with anyone. They just want people to combine their forces. Well, because right now the elections are just run by the two parties who are bought by the billionaires of this country and of the world.
Okay, so they're controlled by corporate and foreign interests, I guess.
Yes.
And, of course, American Free Press streamed the debate live. How long did it last?
The debate was an hour and a half.
Did they pick a winner?
No, they didn't. They didn't. They just listened to the different ideas, and everyone was in a good mood and just listened to each other. Everyone had some time to disagree, to rebut the other candidates. But it was all in good spirits. It wasn't a competition.
Okay. So just letting people know what they would do or what they would concentrate on if they were the president.
Yes.
How was the turnout there?
It was a full room. So many people bought tickets that the organizers had to move to a larger space. So something like 1,000 people showed up.
Wow.
Yes, and everyone was really glad to be there. Most people found out about it through the internet because the big media, you know, you're not going to hear about it. But people are definitely involved, and they really wanted to hear fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that the mainstream media didn't want anybody to know about this?
No, they don't give a say or a voice to anyone who disagrees with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, it's only to ridicule them.
Right.
So the organizers of the four candidates here, they just have their base. They connect with their followers online, and that's how they got the word out. And it was great. They didn't need the big media at all to promote them.
Do you know if the captured, controlled corporate media actually had any articles or any coverage about this debate?
Yes. The Washington Post wrote an article. There was a reporter from Fox at the debate. That is all I know about. But there was a Fox reporter there.
Mm-hmm. So they had about 1,000 people. Did you take a look at the audience yourself while you were there?
Most of the audience was white in their 30s, 40s, 50s. A lot more young people at this debate than at more conservative meetings. The majority was white, but very different opinions because it was four parties represented that are all different from each other. But everyone got along. It was a good place to be. As different as people were, they all just came out to listen to each other and to support someone they really believed in.
So there were no fights or riots or anything like that?
No. Everyone was really glad to be able to hear these actual presidential candidates who want to improve things.
Mm-hmm. How about other media?
RT is a pretty major station. They were there. There were journalists from local papers, but I came about an hour and a half before the event, and there weren't very many journalists. I don't know how many of them showed up later around when the actual event started. But in the green room, there was only about five or six journalists.
I wonder why they didn't invite the former governor of Louisiana, Buddy Romer. Did you hear anything about that?
There were some disagreements about the candidates that were elected, but the organizers play favorites, and people are welcome to look into that. I personally don't know the details. But they did invite the top six presidential candidates. So there was Jill Stein, Rocky Anderson, Virgil Good, Gary Johnson, and then Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. So it does seem like they try to give a fair voice to the people who are seriously running, who have a chance to win.
So they did invite those other two guys then?
They did. They did because it's a fair and equal presidential debate, and those two are running for president, and so they were invited.
I'm surprised they didn't show up. Yeah, gee, I wonder why. Why would you want to tell the truth? Can't do that.
Yeah.
You actually have an article that's on the front page of American Free Press about this debate, and you say here that the biggest disagreement was whether to focus on a balanced budget or invest in the country's future, and that was disagreement among the four candidates, right?
Yes. The question was, someone estimated that by 2030, college would cost about $400,000. And what do you do about it, and how do you help the students who have a total of $1 trillion in debt, which is more than people owe for credit cards, and that they can't find work, and they're basically indentured servants at this point? That was the only question that was kind of split along liberal-conservative line, where Jill Stein and Rocky Anderson said everyone has to have skills so that they can be an active member of society and so that the country can grow. And so it's not enough anymore to have just high school education, so we need to provide free college education so people can be ready before high school was enough. And Jill Stein said that for every $1 invested in education, $7 returns when people learn the skills and start their businesses. And Gary Johnson and Virgil Good, they are so concerned about monetary collapse. They said, we're really sorry. We can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. And did you notice any response from the audience on this issue?
No, the audience was quiet. The audience was just listening.
Okay. And did you come away from the debate with any strong feeling about one or more of the candidates?
Well, I really like Gary Johnson. He really wants to win. He was presenting himself like, vote for me. I'm not just here to share my ideas. And mostly the strong feeling was that any one of these people really can win, because 80% of the country doesn't trust the government. Almost half have decided not to vote. If all of those people came out and voted for someone they actually believe in, who actually could improve things, there's no reason why you couldn't have a good president who would stop the country from becoming a completely totalitarian, corporate, fascist state, or who wouldn't balance the budget and get it to not just go bankrupt. And who knows what would happen then.
Right.
If people just voted, and they voted for someone they believe in, I think things could turn around.
Hope springs eternal. Or, the other side of the coin, hope is for dopes. So it's up to people to decide which philosophy they would want to embrace. Are these candidates actually on the ballots of every state?
They're on the ballots of most states, as far as I know.
What were some of the major topics that were brought up at the debate?
Okay, the first question was, what do the candidates think about the top two primary system? Which basically means that only the top two candidates go on the ballot. They could be the top two candidates from the same party, if those are the guys who have the highest numbers. And all four candidates were extremely concerned about this. They said, pretty much, you can buy your way into the elections and have no choice at all for people. And several states are already passing it. Washington, Arizona, five or six states have already decided that they're just going to give people the choice of top two, no party affiliation. Nothing. Everyone was really concerned about the way elections are run. Virgil Good was pointing out that the RNC and the DNC paid themselves $100 million each to run their campaigns, as if no one else has a voice, as if no one else has a chance, that the public airwaves are used to run the corporate message, and that pretty much big money runs the whole thing. Everyone agreed that that is a huge problem.
Was there any discussion about these illegal wars that are being waged right now by the United States?
Yes. Everyone agreed that wars of aggression create hundreds of millions of enemies and cost entirely too much, and that there's no reason why there should even be wars that Congress hasn't declared. All of these people would end those wars. Ms. Stein and Rocky Anderson, they focus more on like human rights, like don't go into countries and destroy them, and focus on things that would actually benefit people, like fight for human rights and for justice, not for money and corporations. Virgil Good and Gary Johnson saw it differently. They said, don't be aggressive, but also we can't afford it, so just have a strong defense and don't start wars that Congress didn't declare.
I personally would agree with the first two that you mentioned. That was Stein and Anderson, right, where they concentrated on human rights?
Yes.
Yeah, that's something that always amazed me. How is it that these countries, these interests, can so easily deploy their militaries before they've exhausted every other opportunity to discuss the matter and just waste lives and waste money? How did they get away with it? Isn't anybody disgusted by this to the point where they say, wait a second, when you're raising a child, you're so careful about how you hold them and move them around and make sure that they don't get hurt. But as soon as they're not a child anymore, oh, they're going to war. Okay, sure, go ahead. Don't get killed or, you know, don't kill anybody, but be careful. There's such like a huge disconnect with all this stuff, I've found. Do you agree with that?
I do. And that's actually one funny thing people don't mention about Mother's Day, is Mother's Day was inspired by an anti-war poem that said, "Don't send our sons to go and kill their sons."
I didn't know that. Of course, the media won't talk about that.
No, not just buy candy for your mother, but that's not the story at all.
Right.
Another question was about the war on drugs and how does it affect the country and what can be done about it. Everyone except Virgil Good said that they would end the war on drugs. Jill Stein, she's a doctor. She said the only reason that marijuana is dangerous is because people make it dangerous. And everyone except Virgil Good agreed that it's the policies, the war on drugs policies, imprison and hurt and impoverish more people than it's ridiculous. And Virgil Good said, "I don't care. If you care about the war on drugs, don't vote for me." And he actually got booed.
Wow.
That was the only answer anyone gave at all. The audience was really hostile towards.
Wow. So Jill Stein is the Green Party, Rocky Anderson the Justice Party, Virgil Good is the Constitution Party, and Gary Johnson is the Libertarian Party. Virgil Hamlin Good Jr., born in 1946, part of the baby boom, and he served as a member of the House of Representatives from 97 till 09. So he was in there for 12 years, first as a Democrat, and then in 2000 he switched to the Grand Old Party, and he represented, I love that word, the 5th Congressional District of Virginia, and he lost his seat in 08 to a Democrat, and then he joined the Constitution Party, and of course is that party's 2012 presidential nominee. So that takes care of him. Now let's take a look at the other ones here, okay?
Okay.
Let's take a look at this here. All right, I'm not making fun of his Southern accent. He's a good old boy. Okay, Rocky Anderson, Ross Carl Rocky Anderson, and he was born in 1951, and he served two terms as the 33rd mayor of Salt Lake City, Utah, between 2000 and 2008. And he's the executive director of High Road for Human Rights, which would explain why he's concerned with human rights. So that's what he has done. All right, of course, a bunch of other stuff, but that's his story. So he was a mayor for two terms. And he's actually a lawyer. He practiced law for 21 years in Salt Lake City, and he was listed as one of the best lawyers in America. Now let's take a look at Gary Johnson. Now, I think Gary Johnson, he was a governor, right?
He was in New Mexico.
I should know this stuff.
Well, he said that New Mexico is 2-1 Democrat,
mm-hmm.
and he's a Republican, and he ran outside of the Republican system and won twice because people like him so much.
He seems like a nice guy, very gentle guy, and he seems very authentic.
He does.
Gary Earl Johnson. He was born on January 1st, 1953, so he's a New Year baby. And he's an American businessman, former governor of New Mexico, and Libertarian Party nominee. He was the 29th governor of New Mexico from 95 to 03. And he's known for his low-tax libertarian views and his strong emphasis on personal health and fitness. And he has run for president before, and he was born in North Dakota. Rocky Anderson, he was born in Utah. Let's take a look at Virgil, and Virgil was born in Richmond, Virginia. He's also a lawyer. Virgil Good is an attorney, and Rocky Anderson, he's an attorney, and Gary Johnson, did I say he was an attorney?
You said he's a businessman?
Right, so he's not an attorney.
No.
What's wrong with him? He's never going to become the president. Okay, let's take a look at the last one, which is Jill Stein. So we got three attorneys and a businessman, or two attorneys and a businessman. And Jill Stein, Jill Ellen Stein. Born in 1950. She's, as you said, a physician, and she's the nominee for the Green Party. She was a candidate for governor of Massachusetts in 02 and 10. She's a resident of Lexington, Massachusetts. She graduated a little college known as Harvard and Harvard Medical School. And she was born in Chicago, so she was home. She's not a lawyer. She's a doctor. We got two lawyers, a doctor, and a salesman. So while Johnson was in college, he earned money as a door-to-door handyman. So not a salesman, a handyman. So he went door to door and knocked on people's doors and asked if they needed anything fixed. That's kind of smart. Of course, you can't do it now. You might get tasered or shot or kidnapped. So his success in that arena encouraged him to start his own business, Big J Enterprises, in 1976. So 1976, he was born in 1953. So he was 23 years old or 22. When he started the business, which focused on mechanical contracting, he was its only employee. And that's okay because, listen to this, his major break with his company was receiving a large contract from Intel's expansion, which increased his revenue to $38 million. Overstretched by his success, he enrolled in a time management course at night school, which he credits with making him heavily goal-driven. He eventually grew Big J into a multi-million dollar corporation with over 1,000 employees. By the time he sold the company in 99, it was one of New Mexico's leading construction companies. How about that? The guy started it at 23 in 1976, and then 23 years later, he sold it with over 1,000 employees when he was the only employee there. How about that?
Well, you know what he said about that? He said, "You'll be amazed what will happen if you do what you'll say you'll do and show up on time."
Right, exactly. Yeah. I agree with that. Those are the four candidates, and you wanted to make mention about how they differed. Now, how exactly did they differ, these candidates? What stood out to you about their differences besides what you mentioned before?
Okay, well, everyone was asked, if you could pass one amendment, what would it be? Joe Stein said, "Money is not speech and corporations are not people. That corporations have pretty much represent themselves as people and hijack human rights. So if people try to pass a Clean Water Act, corporations say you are violating our rights." But she said you would put an end to that.
I do remember that question.
Rocky Anderson, he wants everyone to be equal before the law. So he said it doesn't matter how you identify, what your sexual orientation is, your gender, your race, that everyone should be equal. That is the amendment that he would pass. Virgil Good and Gary Johnson both said that they were for term limits because candidates spend way too much time worrying about the next fundraiser.
So those were the four choices. One was get rid of that Citizens United decision.
Yes.
And the other one was kind of like an equal rights amendment that has been introduced over the decades but has never been successful. And that was, I guess, primarily geared toward women when it was originally written. I think that was in the 70s. And the other two guys want to make sure that there are term limits so these bums don't hang out there longer than they should.
One point that Virgil Good made that no one else said, he said he would end all immigration until unemployment was below 5%. He said Americans deserve the jobs and there's no reason why we should keep bringing more people in.
Right. What about if those citizens don't even want to work? He didn't think of that. All right. Well, the Equal Rights Amendment, I was wrong. I was right about one thing, but not about the other. It was a proposed amendment to the Constitution designed to guarantee equal rights for women, but it was originally written, was originally introduced to Congress in 1923. And in 1972, it passed both houses of Congress and went to the state legislatures for ratification, but it failed to receive the requisite number of ratifications before the final deadline mandated by Congress of June 30th, 1982 expired, and so it was not adopted. And the person who proposed it was somebody by the name of Alice Stokes Hall. And she was born in 1885 and died in 1997. She was an American suffragist and activist. Amazing. I didn't know that. It's amazing. It passed both houses of Congress in 72, but the states failed to ratify it. I mean, I guess women aren't equal, after all.
No, I get that.
So those were the differences between the candidates.
Well, Gary Johnson, he just kept stressing one point. He said, out of every dollar that the federal government spends, 43 cents is borrowed. That was included in his answer to every question. He was like, you have to pay attention to this. You could have monetary collapse if you don't turn this around. That was his biggest concern.
Before he had mentioned one of the questions that was posed to the candidates, how were the questions posed? Was there a moderator there who asked the questions?
Larry King was the moderator, but the questions were submitted to different social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, and Larry King's team picked out the five questions that would be asked. The sixth question was written by the Free and Equal Elections Foundation. And so the question was read right off the screen. If it was a Facebook, you could see the icon and the name of the person who submitted it. If it was a video format, you watched the original asker say the question exactly as they intended it.
Well, that's pretty cool. So which is regular people asking questions?
Yeah, just regular people. I mean, they reviewed the questions, I guess, for the ones that would affect the most people. So the questions, the top two primary systems, the war on drugs, the $1 billion military budget, and the U.S. being policing the world. The fourth question was about education and that it is way too expensive and enslaves people. The fifth one was about the indefinite detention section of the NDAA. And the sixth question asked them to propose an amendment.
Okay. You flew out. Where'd you fly out of and do?
I flew out from Washington, D.C., well, from Baltimore to Chicago.
BWI, is that what they call it?
Yes.
How was it as far as our friends at the TSA?
They were pretty efficient, I'd say, but I was just curious, if 9/11 was clearly a demolition, why are there body scanners at the airport?
So you went through one of those porno scanners?
I did. Mm-hmm. You just stand there, lift up your arms, the TSA, they kind of treat you a little bit like you're in a jail, because they tell you, stand here, and then stand there. And they're very, very strict about it. And I got arrested once, and it was the same thing. They're like, stand here, look this way, don't move.
I guess they do so many people that they kind of lose their humanity. They get to the point where they just say, you know, do this, do that, and, you know, next.
Yes. People just patiently waited in line. No one has a choice. They have to get on their plane.
Yeah.
But I was actually thinking that so many people profit from the TSA being there. First of all, the scanners. But then also, I would guess that because the security lines are so long and efficient, people don't want to be late for their plane. They come in an hour early, an hour and a half early. And then they get to spend twice as much on coffee and bagels. So at every end, someone's making money.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah, let's find out how much these guys cost. Okay, but there is an article here that says TSA removes body scanners from airports. And this was just 6 days ago.
Chicago had it.
Naked body porno scanners to cost $1.2 billion by 2014. So they probably cost a lot of money. But let's take a look here. TSA removes body scanners. TSA removes controversial X-ray scanners from major airports. And this just came out October 19th. I didn't know about this. Months after a congressional report stated that controversial X-ray body scanners are a waste of money, the TSA has begun removing them from major airports. So they've replaced scanners at Boston's Logan International Airport, LAX, O'Hare, Orlando, and JFK with machines that radiation experts believe are safer. And they were still there, you think? The full body scanners? Not think, but they were still there, the full body scanners in O'Hare?
It was a scanner. It looks like a shower with clear walls.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and you lift up your arms over your head and you just stand there for a few seconds.
Great. Olga, before you head out, you are the bookstore manager for American Free Press, as I know. I know you have a very hectic job. There's a lot of titles over there at American Free Press that you have to stay on top of, hundreds and hundreds of them. I don't know how you do it, but is there any one book in particular you suggest to the listeners right now that they pick up and read right away?
Yes. In April 2012, Jesse Ventura released Democrats and Republicans, which details how the two major parties are bought and paid for by big money. And the people who pay these representatives for their votes run all the institutions that we live in. So you don't know who they are and you don't hear about any opposing voices. But I would recommend that people read this book so that they can see that the people who are in power right now are just bought and paid for. And the only people they're going to vote for are the ones who have bought their vote.
Right. So they're corporate tools.
They are corporate tools. And Ventura proves it. He proves that there's no way that either Democrats or Republicans represent the interests of the majority.
Yeah.
There's no way that they would ever improve lives for people.
Okay, so are you still hopeful?
Well, no. My friends and I are going to buy a farm.
You're going to go back to nature?
Yes.
Good idea, especially when the machine stops.
Yes.
Olga Belinskaya, American Free Press's bookstore manager, thanks so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you for having me.